The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabbour.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their life. And then what do, Jake?
Well, we think about those stories and what's funny about them, and then we use that for long-form improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. We don't air the part where we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
We spare the audience that, but it does happen for about 2 to 3 seconds. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/themeatimprov. That is where you can get access to our Discord channel and a weekly episode Jake and I do called The Potatoes, where we do improv and then give ourselves notes. I don't know. What would you say, Jake? We do little lessons, but we improvise. So if that sounds interesting, not like a nightmare, patreon.com/themeatimprov. It's fun. I'm just messing about, missing a boot. All right, let's get to our episode for the day. It's a very special episode, a crossover episode. That's up to them. From the Film Verse Film podcast, it's Leonard Smith Jr. What's up, Leonard?
What's going on? It's
hello,
me.
Leonard.
I am Leonard.
We got to get everyone. Everyone's got to get the voices, you know, to the names here as they're listening on their runs or whatever. And Quinn Boyce is the second host. What's up, Quinn?
Hello, this is what I sound like.
Hello, Quinn.
All right, that is Quinn. This is Josh. Oh, God, we're fucking it all up. So tell me a little bit about about Film Verse Film podcast. Let's start there. I'm a big movie guy, so I'm curious.
You know, it was 2020. It was a lot of time alone. So, you know, like half of America, we started a podcast.
And, yeah, great.
I always had this weird hypothesis or just like interest in the fact my first like restaurant job, I was like 18, and all these guys in the kitchen, they were all white guys, like got on me so hard and so many different people for not knowing about Princess Bride and never seeing it. And I was just like, I don't know what the fuck this movie is. And everyone who's seen it quotes it instantly, has like, there's two or three lines that they say instantly. I don't know. I feel like I know them from hearing it, like indubitably, or I don't know what the fuck it is.
Indubitably is one. I would, I would guess now I want to do it. Is that the most annoying
thing? Do it.
No more rhyming. I mean it.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah.
There you go. If people know the movie, they know it very well and they're all about it. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Black people don't know about The Princess Bride.
What?
Okay. So there's this movie that came out 2 years later called Harlem Nights, one of my favorite movies of all time. Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Three of the biggest comedy stars at the time. The biggest comedy star at the time, Eddie Murphy in the movie. And white people do not know about this movie. A majority of white people. Not all white people. Obviously, I feel like white people in comedy might know it out here, but there's still a lot of white people I've met out here who do not know what Harlem Nights is.
And I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen it though.
So you've never seen it. All black people have seen Harlem Nights. It is what it is. We've all seen it. We all know it. We quote it. It's great. Came out 2 years apart and one group knows all about one and doesn't know about the other. And it always fascinated me. So just on that thought, I created the podcast with my white counterpart, Quinn Boyce. We're on
is that how you introduce him every time?
Yes, my white counterpart.
I've asked him not to.
We're on an improv team together, Lotions 11, that was coached by Jake, and we always had a great rapport. So I was like, hey, you want to do this podcast with me? And he, thank God, he said yes.
That's a great idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
We looked around at the podcast landscape and we realized there weren't enough. A lot of podcasts, I don't know if you guys realize this, talk about movies. I think 90% of them talk about movies, and we were like, what if we talked about two movies? And I fit the other descriptions in that I have seen Princess Bride and I have not seen Harlem Nights. So after that, it was all, the rest is history.
Yeah. So we choose a prompt, pit two movies against each other. And then now we have a guest choose the winner. The first season we had to, eventually one of us had to give up till we gave the other one a win. And then
that is so wild.
We have a winner of the season and the loser gets punished.
So, were those like 8-hour episodes? I'd be like,
we went until someone's laptop battery died.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. One of you had to admit you're the loser. I like that. That's a great idea for a show. Would have been, so Princess Bride is one I saw kind of later. I feel like that, I guess that qualifies as a white movie per se, but to me that, like, when I hear that, I think of like, that's a movie for kids sort of. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I feel like there's a nostalgic value for, I feel like most people my age who know it, they probably all saw it as kids. So
okay. Yeah.
That's why they're all about it.
That makes sense.
Did you see Harlem Nights as a kid? Because that's a more dramatic movie, right?
I feel like I saw it as a teenager. I had seen it referenced and like maybe had seen it in the background, but I didn't fully truly watch it until I was like 17 or something like that. And I was like, this movie is amazing. So
interesting.
I like the idea that maybe like a white person and a black person could sit down in the same theater and watch the same roll of film, and a white person will see Princess Bride while a black person sees Harlem Nights, because every time you said that, Leonard, it's borne out. Whoever you're talking to is like, yeah, I've seen Princess Bride. And then if they're black, they're like, nope, but I've seen Harlem Nights. I don't know.
I've asked a lot of people too. Like I've been on this trek for like 10 years. So
you found it. You found the two movies.
Yeah. So my thing was like, all right, so what two movies would fall into that category for like our generation, my age range? And I feel like I know some black movies that could probably fall into the whatever that sector. But I feel like by that moment in time, if it was like a very popular white movie, it was just a popular movie. And it was harder to find hidden gems that had like such a cult following that black people wouldn't know about. So like early 2000s, my thought was all black people have really seen like All About the Benjamins. I don't know if any of you've seen All About the Benjamins.
Nope.
Yeah. Ice Cube.
Yep. Ice Cube and Mike Epps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great movie. They did like a run of like three or four movies together, like the same movie, but just with different scenarios, different like plots, but basically the same movie. And like maybe Paid in Full, you know, maybe there's a lot of, I feel like, black movies that could probably, but you know, with white culture, it's popular culture. So then we normally at least know about those.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about, now I want to like, I'm trying to think of like what I would consider to be like white. I don't know.
I thought it was like something like,
I walk this tightrope every episode, John, what you're doing right now.
What about Saving Silverman?
Oh, you know what? I feel like that's a pretty good choice that most black people probably would not know about. I've seen it. It's just because it came on Comedy Central a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Comedy Central just exposed me to a lot of white comedies.
Yeah. That's interesting. The funny part is, go ahead.
I will also say I appreciate Quinn. Quinn is, he's a great co-host, and he gets put into a lot of situations by me. He handles them very well.
That's good. I'm like literally just trying to think of other movies to throw at this. I get what you're saying though. What would be like a recent one, Leonard? Are they all like, or I'm trying to think of an example of like,
I feel like it's tougher.
Like Madea, like, movies? I've never seen a Madea movie.
Neither have I. I've never seen
it. I don't know what category to put that
Someone's
in.
Someone's going.
But yeah.
A lot of people are going.
Those are actually Italian movies. It doesn't really make sense. Yeah.
If it's going to be a black movie, it's probably going to be like a Tyler Perry movie for sure.
Okay. Like, I guess that makes sense. Okay, cool.
Anyways, yeah, sorry.
I was just trying to see what about... Now I'm just going to test this the whole first portion of this fight. What about Ernest? Is Ernest is universal, isn't he? Ernest goes to
Ernest
camp.
Ernest goes to camp and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Ernest that. Movies
as a kid. I'm trying to find the one that are like,
you know, what movie I loved as a kid that I feel like most people don't ever talk about and never gets referenced is Problem Child movies.
I like Problem Child. John Ritter.
Yeah.
In Cape Fear.
Jesus.
This is the second time I brought up Cape Fear on this podcast in a month. Robert De Niro gets out of prison and goes to see Problem Child and is laughing so hard. Like, he's partly trying to annoy people, but he is laughing the hardest I've ever seen a person laugh at Problem Child. And I'm always like, was this a rights thing? But like, Martin Scorsese is pretty meticulous about detail. So was he like, Problem Child, that movie is funny enough that this works? Or were there like other movies they threw in there? Or was it just like, we have Problem Child and it's like, fine, he'll think that's funny. Like,
Yeah. Was it a studio thing or was it a Scorsese thing?
I'd love it if the Problem Child producer, like if they shared the same production company, they're like, we got to push Problem Child. So it's coming out 3 months after Cape Fear. Just have them watch it and have Robert De Niro love it. And people will, it'll drive the box office.
They had to set the movie slightly in the future. Like,
yeah.
Threw everything up. We got to get a new car for him then. It's not gonna.
That's why Robert De Niro is referring to President Dole. And they got a couple things wrong.
There is like a type of movie, like a Problem Child that I totally grew up with, like video store classics, you might call them, that like that I don't think are on streaming or anything like that. What would you say? Like Problem Child would be one of them. I'm trying to think. Like
I gave Leonard Homeward Bound on an episode once. He got really angry. That I feel like is a classic. Like every kid has that VHS.
Yeah.
What you got angry? Why? You have or haven't seen it?
Oh, I just got angry because it was just a 2 hour lull fest.
Talk about why you really got angry, Leonard. You got angry.
First of all,
you couldn't reckon that the animals were talking but not moving their mouths.
Oh, but yeah. What is it? Is it telekinesis? Is it what's happening?
You're thinking too hard about it.
They're also talking, and then they don't bark, and then they're talking. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense.
It is a choice. I'm with you there. When I revisited it, I was like, oh, they just, but what would be better? Moving lips? like animated?
Would have been better if they just didn't create the movie.
Okay.
I've got two movies that I think about that I'm like, I don't see this. One is Three Ninjas. Is everybody?
Love Three Ninjas.
Is that like a Universal? Three Rocky, Ninjas Tom, is a Universal.
Tom. Colt. Who's the third one? Colt, yeah.
Wow, okay. We all know Three Ninjas. I feel like I never see... That feels like it never bubbles up to like... Maybe it was just very bad, but we all liked it as a kid. But it's like, I never hear... I watch that way more than I watch like The Goonies or Karate Kid. Like,
yeah, same.
Three Ninjas all the time.
There's like Dennis the Menace, Blank Check.
Oh, Blank Check. Woo! Yeah. Blank Check is if I somehow watched like maybe the first 20 minutes of Blank Check a couple years ago, and I was just like, this is fucking ridiculous. Who allowed this movie to be made?
I remember
it was
as a
just
kid,
like,
though.
Man, white kids got whatever they wanted. It was great.
All you needed was one check that couldn't be canceled for some reason. Yeah,
he bought so much shit. And his parents just don't realize he bought the house across the street or something. Like, what is going on? Who signed the documents for him to buy this house?
I think like Blank Check and the movie Double Jeopardy were two movies that I took too literally. I like learned the wrong lesson. I was like, Blank Check, damn, you can cash a check for anything. And Double Jeopardy, like being like, once you break the law once.
there's a movie that I loved as a kid that I should not have been watching, and that was RoboCop. I don't think my parents is like, oh, it's RoboCop. Okay, it's a robot sci-fi movie or something. And fuck, man, that movie's gruesome.
Yeah.
The first scene, how he becomes RoboCop, he gets shot to death. Like, not to death, but near death. Blow off his arms and legs and shit.
I haven't seen that one in I don't think I've ever seen RoboCop all the way through. What?
First one is pretty lit. They like it originally got like an NC-17 rating, and they had to like change some things to make it rated R.
I might have seen it because my parents knew that I shouldn't be watching it as a kid, and then I just missed my window.
I feel like horror movies is one that's like maybe more niche. Like, I feel like people grow up watching specific, like horror movies feels like something that like someone in your group of friends might, their parents might get you to rent one, and then it like becomes a fabric of your childhood in a way that like, oh, I wouldn't have had access to this, but we saw it once. So now it's like, let's go rent whatever again. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have movies that come to mind for that?
Mine would be People Under the Stairs. That shit.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that one.
Good one.
That was okay. That one I saw once at a sleepover, and I was like so fucking freaked out by it that like I definitely watched it a few more times since then. It's a Wes Craven movie.
As a kid, I loved horror movies. So I watched them all. I remember Candyman scared the shit out of
Candyman
me.
Candyman was
I never saw it.
I like terrifying. The only time I ever like set it in the mirror, I was at church. I was like, all right, I can do this at church. And I don't even think I really did. I don't even think I said it all the full amount of times.
Well, then you didn't do it.
What do you say?
You say his name three times in a mirror.
Yeah. We, my friends and I did that. We went into a bathroom and shut the door and turned the lights off and said Candyman three times. And you're supposed to flip the light on. Yeah, and by coincidence, it was the last go on that light bulb. So when we flipped the light, it went, it popped. And we like, it was like 5 12 year olds just like throwing each other, trying to get out of that door. Like you have never seen, like, it was like, we were all kind of scaring each other a little bit, but nobody really thought anything was going to happen. And then that light bulb went pop. And it was just like, fuck you all. We're going to die. I'm getting out of this.
It was fight or flight.
Like, I just remember people just like it was such a quick way to go like, oh, we're not that. None of us are that good of friends. Like, we all thought we were going to die. And it was like, fuck you. I'm out of here. It was so crazy.
If that happened to me, Jake, I would be a priest right now. There's no way that's not an accident. The light bulb has thousands of flicks in it. And that happened on the time you said Candyman three times. No way. That's coincidence.
Yeah, it was terrifying. That movie scared the shit out of me.
Do you have one, Quinn?
I you know, mine's not really that niche, but maybe that's okay. My mom showed me, like, at a relatively young age, I think she was like, oh, you can watch like the first slasher movie, because comparatively it's so tame to what was out there in like the 90s and then 2000s and today. So mine is the first Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And that became like a movie that I like loved for like the atmosphere, and would watch every Halloween despite not really ever being that spooked, because it was always kind of like, you know, I would get scared by things that weren't supposed to be scary, like an episode of like Courage the Cowardly Dog, but like actual horror movies they would like put, you know.
So your mom was like, you can't see any of the new stuff, but I'll let you like watch a
like I'm trying to think what would have been popular. Like, she would have never okayed me seeing Saw, which was like all the like kind of torture porn or like really extreme slasher movies. But she's like, you can see Jamie Lee Curtis walking around Haddonfield, Ohio, or wherever they're supposed to be in Haddonfield, Illinois. It's so tame compared to, because it's all it is. It's like, it's daylight for the first half of the movie, and then she'll just like see him like behind a clothesline, not really trying to hide. And I'd be like, it's spooky, it's creepy, but I'm not like shitting my pants.
Yeah, Michael Myers is not like, it's weird that they created a monster that's slow.
Yeah, he's relentless, but he never breaks into even a jog.
Yeah.
Your mom doing that makes me think of like one thing, which is not my story, but I heard like Paul Rust on another podcast say that like his mom edited a version of Pulp Fiction with all the like violence out of it so that he could watch it, which must have taken forever.
She got Final Cut and like put it in the,
I think she had two VCRs or something, and like,
wow, recorded. That's commitment.
So he had like this weird like PG-13 version of Pulp Fiction. But my story, which is less exciting, but when I got caught using the computer for pornography, my mom was like,
when was that, last week?
Yeah. I accidentally used her email account to sign up for something. she was like, I'll let you get a subscription to Playboy. Like, it was the same, like, don't go looking on the internet and find the saw of porn. Like, I'll let you have power. I'll let you have that porn. Just like, okay, yeah, tantalizing. She was like trying to cut me off before my brain rotted.
Whose name was it under?
I never did it. I never took her up on it.
Yeah, okay.
It's weird.
I guess I asked the first weird question, and we're done talking about this. I can't be having a Playboy with like one of those printed on address labels that says my mom's name on it.
Is your mom demystifying it? Like, she drops it outside your room every time it comes and she goes, okay, Jake, I'm going to go downstairs and close your door now.
Jakey?
Yes.
Jakey.
What
are you busy? Are you doing homework or what are you up to?
Yeah, I was finishing up a book report.
Well, that's good. Your father and I, we noticed there was some things you were recording off of the television. Some what? USA Network type stuff. Silk stockings.
Mom.
You labeled the tape music videos. And I had to check, and it's silk stockings back to back.
It was a 4-hour tape and I squeezed the silk stockings in the middle of it. You watched 4 hours?
Okay, so that was on purpose. Yeah, we watched the whole tape. We watched the whole tape.
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, if you want, if you're looking to watch sexy stuff, jerk off, whatever it is going to be.
Mom!
Your dad and I want to help you not waste your time on what amounts to softcore pornography on cable.
Mom!
Well, they're never going to show you what you want to see on Silk Stockings. It's a weird show for adults to watch and an even weirder one for children to watch. So we don't want you to get a warped sense of what sexuality is.
I don't want to. Okay, I won't watch it anymore.
Well, that's not. We want to give you good examples.
Listen, son.
What the hell?
Listen, I sent your mom in first to just.
You're standing outside the door?
Yes, I've been listening the whole time. Okay.
What?
Now listen, son. Not only are we trying to help you grow and learn the right way or whatever way you want to learn, okay? But you used 4 hours of tape and put this in the middle, okay? You know, we only have so many tapes, son, okay? So you need to get to the real hardcore action. Get it done.
What?
Get it out of the way. Save yourself some time. Save us some space on the tapes.
Are you and mom on the same message right now?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right, son, let me ask you a quick question. Are you a dry tugger or do you like to use lotion?
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
No, it isn't.
Who wants an ant on a log while we talk about this? I made some ants on a log.
Get that out of here.
Henry, I know you want some ants on a log.
Yeah, but can I get the ones without raisins, hon? You know, I don't like the raisins.
That's no problem. I'll pick them off for you.
What the hell?
Jake, it's grandma, Jake.
God, are you, waiting in the hallway?
Your father picked me up from the nursing facility. I just wanted to come. I hear you've had a little problem. Don't be embarrassed.
I wasn't. I didn't have a problem.
Well, I heard that you've been using the VHS tapes to record some smutty material.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know that you're never too old to stop using your imagination. You can take some of these ideas and write them down. Write them in books. Write poems that are erotic. You don't have to use videotapes.
Mom,
you're getting way too much screen time as it is.
Mom, we're not going to push the imagination. We're not.
You're stifling the boy.
Well, you know that that's not realistic with this generation. They can't be jerking off dry to just their thoughts. They
listen.
Just like
listen.
I needed the
Betty Davis used to do more with an ankle.
Honey,
than Pamela
this,
Anderson
honey.
Could do in a skimpy tuck in a skimpy bikini.
Listen, Mom, we all know you wanted to be a poet and you weren't allowed to be a poet, at least an erotic poet in your day. It was seen as, you know, immoral.
What the hell are we doing?
Son, we're going to get back to you. You never answered my question in the first place. Are you a dry tugger or do you use lotion?
It shouldn't matter. Whatever you're going to suggest for me,
it matters.
I should be able to jerk off to regardless of my lotion preferences.
We didn't have the luxury of lotion back in the 40s, Jake. We just had to go sometimes a little spit, but otherwise you're just doing it dry.
That's gross. I'm not. Yuck.
We'll start with coconut oil. Okay. Next to the ants on a log. I did drizzle a little coconut oil on the ants on a log. Just
why?
I noticed that.
Because it's adventurous.
Yeah. It tastes good. I like it.
Slid right down my throat.
Well, and now perfect segue. Coconut oil is great for lubrication for yourself. And if, you know, in a couple years or who knows, could be a couple months before you're getting tugged off in your bunk bed here or whatever.
And listen, son, don't try to do the pullout method, okay? Because I know it doesn't work. That's how you got here.
We went right from second to home plate there.
You know, I was a little upset that you all met without me about this, but it seems like you didn't really meet without. Like everyone's throwing their own things at the wall.
We heard. I showed everyone a tape of silk stockings. We all went to our own rooms and brainstormed, and now we met again at the door.
That's absurd. Don't I get a say in this? Can't I just leave me alone? I'll masturbate in the shower.
Oh no, no! I have to clean that.
And Drano is expensive, son. Okay, we can't be spending too much money on Drano. It's all about the end cost, son. Okay.
Plus, the implication of jerking off in the shower is that you're not allowed to do it around the house, and that is fine. You get your coconut oil. You find out what you're into. I got you a little sampler of different kinds of pornography.
The hell?
Your father and I are an adventure. This, I don't want you to focus too hard on the faces of these people. They are our neighbors.
What?
Well, it's just we're consent. We're consent.
What in the?
I don't want you.
We are against we. The porn industry has turned sex into big business.
Yes,
okay? We do not support that. Now, if you want to go that route, that is more so. You can do that once you move out of this house. But
yeah.
Until then, you will be watching amateur porn, and you are going to thank the Starnovskis next door.
No, I am not.
Yes, you will. Wait till you see what these Starnovskis get up to. You're judging a book by their cover. The Starnovskis have taught us a lot.
I don't care.
This is organic porn. This is like having a garden out back. Are you grossed out by that?
Cut to the carpool with Jake and the Starnovsky's son, and they're riding in their car to soccer practice on a Saturday morning. Awfully quiet back there, Jake. What's going on?
I wish I was dead.
Why is that, Jake? What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is.
I think your brain's warped from watching all the silk stockings you don't stop blabbing.
Why?
About.
I don't blab about them. I discreetly hid it, and then my parents did some sort of crowdfunding for amateur pornography.
You didn't like the fact that we were repeatedly saying your name throughout?
Why would I like that?
It's an acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know how upsetting that was for me to watch that, knowing that it's my neighbors, knowing that it's my friends' parents, and then they uttered my name, knowing that they made it for me?
Listen, all I'm saying is if you keep watching this silk stocking stuff, Next thing you know, you're going to be going down this route. You're going to be paying for women's stockings. You're going to be waiting in aisles of Target, looking at stockings. We're saving you a lifetime of worryment.
Why me? What is everyone else masturbating?
It's not just you. Your parents made a tape for me.
Yeah. The Why? Whole PTA got together.
We're okay with that.
I learned titty fucking from your parents. All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Quinn, you're up first. What would you like to talk about?
This story is a couple years old. It's not really based on movies or anything that we've been talking about so far, but I was thinking about it the other day when I was talking to my brother. He lives in Austin, Texas, and I went to visit him for the first time a few years ago when he was living with some friends in like a house that the four of them had rented, because you can rent a house in Texas. I'd never been there before, and I was getting in on like, I was leaving on the red eye, and I was getting in at like 3:30 in the morning. So I was like, don't worry about like, just leave your side door unlocked and I'll just like get there and you don't have to pick me up. He sends me the address. I land in Austin International, whatever the airport is, and I got a Lyft or an Uber, but they were not doing it at the time. They were doing like, I think Austin specifically, or maybe the state of Texas, had like banned the popular rideshare services. So I had to get like one of the, I forget what it was called, but it was one of the kind of jankier ones. And so I could have, I guess, just taken a cab, but I didn't think to do that. So I downloaded the app. I got in this guy's car. He's a super nice guy. And obviously like I just took the address that my brother had texted me, and I copied it and I pasted it into the app. And it was something like, you know, 126 Alamo Street or something. And so I put it in, and the guy's super nice. And he was like telling me about his kids, and now he's like doing this like as he's retired and he's making a little bit of money. And it was like a totally nice exchange. I was grateful that he was even like there to pick me up. And he drops me off. And again, I've never like been to my brother's place. So I'm like outside the house and everything is dark because it's so late. And I go around to the side, and like, not only is the door not unlocked, there's like no side door. So like I'm arrived, I've got all my stuff because I was going to stay for a little bit. And I was like, this is weird. Maybe I should like, I don't want to wake him up, but like maybe he meant like by the side door, he meant like go around the side and there's like a sliding door in the back. So I'm like walking all around this house at like 4:30, and I'm like looking in and like trying doors. And eventually there was like this sliding screen door in the back, which I tried, and I like step in and I see he's got like two cats, and the cats are looking at me, and I'm like, Truman, my brother's name is Truman. I'm like, Truman doesn't have any cats, but like maybe his roommates have cats. Like, I don't know. Like basically nothing was lining up with like the instructions that my brother had given me. And there was that very strange feeling, like that goosebumps feeling. Like the second I stepped in, I was just like, oh, something's wrong here. This isn't right. So I like stepped out. I like went back onto the curb. Obviously my driver had left. It was like totally dead. It was like a suburban area outside of Austin. And I'm like looking at the curb. I'm like, this number is right. And I'm looking at, and I go back in. I stand in the house again. And I don't know why, like, I just was like, I can't call him. I can't call him outside his house and be like, what do you want me to do? But like, I'm finally in there.
Because you feel
like
dumb?
Because I feel dumb. Yeah. And I'm like, I did everything right. Like I didn't punch the number and the address in wrong. I just sent it.
Yeah.
And so like everything was seemingly correct. So I'm like, I guess I'm just going to go to sleep on this couch. But the cats that were, there were two cats, and they were like, just sitting there, and they just kept like following me everywhere I went, and like very kind of tense in the way that cats are when they're like not moving, but they're also not looking away from me. And so I was like, this is weird. And so I step outside again. So now I've like been in this house twice, and I just punched the, I do the same thing as I did with the app. I take the address and I punch it into my, my maps app. And it tells me that I'm actually like a street over. And actually like Texas had like 123 whatever Alamo Street, and then it had like, oh no, you know what I said, it was Alamo Street, but it was something like 18th Street, and that's important. But it, so it was 123 18th Street, and they have 18th Street, and then this place in Texas also had 18th and a half Street. So it wasn't that the house number was a half, it was that the street number was a half.
Whoa.
So this guy, this perfectly nice guy, had dropped me off in the wrong house. I was just a street over. And it was like between 18th and 19th Street, there was 18th and a half Street. And I've just for the past like 30 minutes been casing this house. Like, I'm a big dude. I've got like a backpack and full of stuff. And I'm literally like looking in every window as I go by. I'm like, I'm not calling out. I'm trying to be quiet because I assume my brother and his roommates are asleep. But I was like, this looks like the house of like a guy who's got some kids. Like, this looks like a very like resident, you know, this does not look like four guys out of college are living in this
house. What time is it again?
It's in 4:30 Texas. In the morning. In Texas, the make my day state. Like, I realized that, like, I punched it into the app literally as I was standing like in the doorway of this house with the screen door half open, and I'm like standing half inside, half outside. And then when I realized, I just bolted like all the way down the street. I ran with all my stuff, and I got to the right house. But I thought about it all, like, I told my brother the next day, and he couldn't have been more like, or his roommate was like, oh yeah, I get that guy's mail. Sometimes I'll just like drop. He's like, he's just a guy. But I was like, this dude had no idea that I was like standing in his house, probably like a few yards away from where he's sleeping. And I was just retroactively the most terrifying thing, the dumbest, most terrifying thing I'd ever done in my life.
Oh my God.
Maybe I'm thinking of that story because we were talking about Halloween and how Michael Myers would just show up in people's homes. I felt like Michael Myers, unwittingly, I was just Michael Myers in this guy's home.
Like, with a suitcase and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a very good chance that if I was a little less persistent, he would have just found me, because I wasn't going to go to my brother's room and wake him up when I got there. I was just going to crash on the couch, and there was a couch. So I literally, at one point, if the cats weren't weirding me out, I was like, I'll just fuck it. I'll figure it out tomorrow. I'll just put my stuff down and fall asleep on this couch. And I would have woken up like, looking down the barrel of a shotgun. Maybe, I don't know, but it didn't come to that.
Wow.
We're from New Jersey originally, where also like, I don't know. People would, I wouldn't worry that much about what, well, you'd still be bad if you woke up in someone else's home, but I was slightly more worried being in Texas. I was like, this could go not well.
Yeah. Did your brother ever tell him? Do you know?
I asked, I don't know. I don't know if he ever told him, and they don't live there anymore, but I do remember saying, like, the next time you exchange mail with this guy, maybe like, if you want to mention it, like, you can. I'm not going to probably be back here, so I don't know that they did that. That might have soured the relationship. They might have stopped getting their mail that went to his place. But
yeah, that's crazy, because that's probably something like that person thinks as much as he would have been scared to see you, like to just be like, someone was in here.
I think about that from his perspective all the time, because I don't think I left. Like, obviously, I closed the door behind me when I left. But I think about all the time, if someone was like mistakenly in my house, I would rather never know about that, because I would never feel like safe
again. Yeah. True. Jesus.
I once somebody like opened my door in my apartment. And then immediately was like, whoop. So I think they were like coming to meet a friend or whatever, and just got like the wrong door or whatever. And I didn't see them. I just heard the door open. And then a guy go, oh, and then close the door. And I'm trying. I mean, you were describing it like a fear. And so many of the jobs I've had in my life have been going to other people's homes, like as an improv coach. I also worked with like youth on probation, and I'm always terrified of that happening, of like at finding myself, but I don't think I would ever get inside, but I'm still worried about the idea of like, I think some people are like, come on in, or we're the first door on the right or whatever. And it's like, I fucking hope this is the right house, but I can't think that I've ever gone in the wrong place.
It's also the difference between like, cause yeah, I've made that mistake before, I'm sure. But like the difference in time, like there's no good reason for anyone to be in my house or apartment or whatever at 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like a fun misunderstanding.
Yeah.
If it's that late, like you always assume the worst.
Yeah. How was the rest of your trip to Texas, Quinn?
It was good. I was going because my brother and I are big Yankee fans, and they were playing Houston in the playoffs. So like spontaneously, I had just bought this ticket to go. And then we were going to drive to Houston the next day, which we ultimately did. And then they had a crushing defeat, which was a bummer. So it set the tone. Like it set the tone where I was like really excited. And then I got there and I was like, I could have avoided this trip entirely if I had just told myself, like, you're going to go into the wrong house, you're going to pay money to go see your team lose when you didn't have to fly halfway across the country to see them. Like it was just a regretful trip, but I get the story out of it.
That's the worst. Going on a trip to like see your team play somewhere and like you spend all this money and then they lose.
Which is a thing I don't normally do. Yeah, I haven't done since. Yeah. But yeah, it's not great.
How'd you like Minute Maid Park? It's pretty chill.
Sorry. I'd never been. It's nice. They have they have a train filled with oranges.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Can you grab an orange off it?
No, it runs along the top of the ballpark. If someone hits a home run, they just run it back and forth. And I guess Minute Maid, so they like Minute Maid's like, we got to get our sponsorship money out of this. Fill that caboose with oranges.
The oranges rot.
They might be fake.
That's funny. Have you been back to Texas since then?
I have been back a couple times to see my brother. He's now living somewhere else. But I'm always, it's always a trip. The first, I visited him another time and he was living with different people. And one guy had like a dog and he was at work when I showed up. I should just show up when my brother's home and awake because I think that's the solve here. But I was showing up at like 2 p.m. and he was going to get off work. So I went and he goes, there's a dog and it'll bark at you, but just, you're cool. It's cool. Don't be afraid. He's my roommates. And I was like, okay. And I'd never met this group of roommates. And I opened the door and the dog barked, but also he bit and he like, I just kind of not kicked, but I just kind of wedged, like gave him my shoe. So he was like gnawing on this part of my shoe. And I just hobbled to his room and closed the door and waited 4 hours for him to get home. Now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of my trips to Texas are weird.
All right, execs, get in here. I just sealed us the best Minute Maid deal, okay? What do people think of when they think of Minute Maid orange juice? They think of trains and they think of baseball, right? We all agree on that?
Breakfast, yes, eggs? Of course.
Absolutely.
What was that, Josh?
Sorry, I know I'm just the intern, but I also think of breakfast. I also think of like having orange juice, eggs.
Okay.
Maybe it was a part of a smoothie. What?
Keep.
Sorry.
Part of a smoothie.
Keep thinking that way. You'll still be an intern. Minute Maid, orange juice, trains, and baseball. So I paid a lot of money. We got a little choo-choo train that'll go around the top of the Houston Astrodome. And we'll put some oranges in the back.
What if we just shove it full of orange, like filled to the brim with oranges? Yeah, I love it.
And I think instead of having it run continuously, we should only run it back and forth when they hit a home run.
Great. I love it.
Save energy.
Save energy, limited visibility, only for the big moments.
Yeah, and then we don't have to build an entire track. We just build like a quarter of a track.
Oh, that's great. I think that it's still going to cost us about $8 million, but I think that'll be a great investment. People will see a home run. They'll think, I wish I had a tasty glass of orange juice. They'll see the train bring a caboose full of oranges. They'll go, I wish I had one of those. I can't. I'm going to leave to go get one.
How about this? Instead of drinking Gatorade on the sidelines, we fill those jugs with Minute Maid jugs. Pouring Minute Maid. They're pouring the Minute Maid on the manager after they win, right? You see those big, muscular baseball arms. Pouring.
All stingy. He's got citrus in his eyes. Yeah. He can't see.
Yeah. So then you start thinking about, ooh, okay, whenever I got to wash my clothes, I'm thinking about orange juice. Whenever I see some big, burly arms, I'm at the gym, I see some dude doing steroids, I'm thinking of orange juice.
Yeah, pretty smart, pretty sharp.
Oh God, the intern trips and a bunch of papers fall out of a folder. Oh, don't mind these.
What are those?
What is that? What is that I see?
Oh God, it's just, sorry, just some sketches I drew up.
Oh this yeah, one, let's get a look at these.
This one just says orange juice. It's need vitamin C? Try a glass of orange juice. And then I just drew a sketch of like, maybe we could have some orange juice stands like at the around the baseball stadium where people could just get a free cup of orange juice. So, or maybe they pay for it. They could pay like $5 for the orange juice.
Well, yeah. No one's getting free cups of orange juice. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That
vitamin C. You want people to think about the doctor when they drink orange juice. I want people to think about orange juice when they see a baseball player hit a home run.
The Mets have the apple. Okay. So New York Met hits a home run. A big apple goes up and down. No one calls them stupid. I don't know why we're getting so much pushback from a fucking intern, a guy we don't even pay about my orange juice train. Okay.
Yeah. I spilled my folder. I was putting your coffees in front of you.
What's this one?
I didn't ask for coffee. I asked for orange juice.
Sorry.
Where is our hot pot of orange juice?
Wait a second. Let me see this.
You asked for a hot pot. I assumed it was coffee.
Hold on. You have a little Minute Maid juice center for children. You want kids drinking juice? Is that what you want?
If they grow up drinking juice, they'll keep doing it into adulthood.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Juice is an adult beverage, okay? We've been pretty clear on that. You drink juice after a hard day of work, the wife's yawn, you just had to deal with the boss for 6 hours. I just need a tall glass of orange juice, no pulp.
Yeah, maybe pour a little vodka in there. You know what I'm saying? Do what you need to do. It's an adult beverage.
That's not a bad
thing. Okay, where's my hot pot of
orange juice? I'll go get the hot pot. I got to make another. I don't even know how to make a hot pot of orange juice. Do you just heat the orange juice and put it in the pot?
I can't believe we have to answer these questions.
I'll figure it out.
You know what? Listen, intern, ever since our father died and left us the Minute Maid Corporation, interns like you have been fucking it up, okay? They might have been lax. They might have been lenient when it was under our father's regime. But you got to hold your weight, okay?
Yeah.
I'm so trying. I am desperately trying. I'll go heat up. I'll go microwave some orange juice. I'm so sorry.
Oh my
He leaves,
God.
Closes the door, has a moment to himself. Fuck, Daniel. Fuck. You're fucking it up. You and your dreams. Scampers to the kitchen. We go back to the room.
I mean, he's a sweet kid, but... I want to tie him to the train tracks and run him over with an orange juice train.
And then you reverse the train back slightly, yeah. And then it hits him again.
And then go backwards. It's like orange juice and vitamins and for kids and breakfast. That kid.
Who the fuck? This guy's living in the fucking 19th century, man.
I don't know. I don't know what his problem is. It's orange juice.
He was telling me
it's
something
about...
He was telling me something about if you peel it, there's fruit on the inside that you eat.
Okay.
And I'm like, listen, kid. All right. I've been in this business a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure oranges are made to be squeezed with your hand over a jug.
Yeah.
And drank.
Yeah. Well, these aren't monkey skulls. We're not peeling them and eating what's inside. That guy is an idiot.
Comes back in. Intern comes back in. He's got kind of a new attitude. Got your hot OJ.
Whoa, this confidence.
Got your hot OJ, boys. Here, I'll splash it around these plastic cups.
What is
Have
happening?
Fun handling that.
What are you doing?
Your hot juice. I'll drink mine straight from the pitcher. What are we doing?
Now this kid knows his orange juice, okay? I like this attitude adjustment.
Here's my tattoo. Commercial pitch, okay, babe? He does cocaine. We get Jose Canseco. He hits an orange over the back wall. We get two babes. They kiss right where the orange falls in the outfield. And then...
Hey, intern.
Yeah.
You want to be our new CFO?
What? That's
I thought you'd never
position.
Ask. I thought you'd never ask. He pushes this guy out of his chair.
Out of a window.
Squeeze that man. See what kind of juice you can get out of him. So do we wake him up or... I mean, he seems to be pretty comfortable sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
He's so childlike.
He doesn't like smell bad. He seems like he like his his hair smells like, I think that's, it's a Pantene.
Hey, Tim, quit smelling his hair. We're trying to handle the situation. You know, you've got every inch of that guy mapped for smells.
Well, I'm thinking he uses Pantene for shampoo. It looks like he uses some type of I believe that's Tropical Smash. Tropical Smash body wash. Oh, okay. He likes to use cocoa butter as lotion. I see. Okay.
you are taking this guy in.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out who this guy is. Okay. Do either one of you know who this guy is?
I don't. That's the thing. But he woke up on our couch. You know, we all woke up. We all came downstairs. I thought he was your friend. You thought he was my friend. I mean, I don't know what. What'd you think, Bobby?
Maybe he's dangerous. Should we try to scare him?
Should we put some clothes on him? He's completely naked right now.
I mean, yeah, we should cover him up. Yeah.
Or should we just wake him up?
I don't want to wake him. I don't want to alarm him. He doesn't know who we are.
I'll put him in my Tony Romo jersey. Just so.
So I kind of feel like you guys are treating him a little bit like a dolly.
Does he look like a guys? I'm upstairs looking through my closet. Does he look like a large or an XL?
His shoulders are kind of broad. I'd say XL.
All right, I'll bring both.
Two sizes of Tony Romo jerseys. That's smart. All right. You know what?
Leonard, help me lift his arms so I get this over his head.
How is he not waking up right now?
He's definitely breathing.
All right. He's definitely breathing. So the naked guy's got a jersey on now. We might want to.
Well, now he just looks weird without pants. I'm going to get pants, guys. I'm going back upstairs.
Well, I don't know. What kind of pants are you getting? I'd say sweatpants or.
You got to get some gym shorts. Right?
Leonard, can you eyeball his waist? What are we thinking? 36 inch, 32?
Yeah, but I feel like that'd be too tough. I feel like you should get something with an elastic band, some like gym shorts or sweatpants.
You know,
I'll bring both.
His balls are pretty large. They need to breathe. So I would say gym shorts. That's my guess.
God, quit smelling his gym shorts balls. And sweatpants.
Leonard, help me lift his legs. I'm going to get these sweatpants.
Oh, hungry.
All right. I think we're weirder than him now. This guy got too drunk probably at a frat party, but we have smelled his balls. We're dressing him up like our favorite football player. I feel like I should make a getaway plan.
Wait a second. Hold on, guys. I think this is Tony Romo.
Don't let the jersey. This happens with you in jerseys.
Are you sure?
You think
it's not Tony Romo?
I can't be positive.
Listen, you're saying we're being weird, but do we or do we not live in Texas?
We live in Texas.
And is Texas not the make my day state where you can do anything you want to someone who stumbles onto your property?
Okay, I don't know if I want to test the limits of that law.
Hey.
We could shoot this guy in the head. We're just dressing him up. We're being neighborly. I don't think it's that weird.
Also, maybe he has the ability to play quarterback and he could potentially be the future starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You know,
it's not Tony Romo. You got to let go of the Tony Romo thing.
He's also retired.
We got to these guys meeting with the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. So you want to trade me Tony Romo?
It's the guy still sleeping. So they've managed to keep him asleep and sustained through like yogurt and stuff they put in his mouth. And like they clean him and take care of him like one of the real life dollies.
Listen, this man is
Mr. Jones. He's got tremendous arm strength. Here, Leonard, go long. And I'm like lifting his arm up and putting a football.
It's a perfect spiral.
Holy shit.
I think I
look at the zip on that.
I think I broke a finger, guys.
Tony, I thought you were retired. This is incredible. So who are you three guys? Why?
We're his representation.
We're Texans.
Yeah, yeah, Texans. Just good old neighborly people.
Okay, okay.
We get it. We see Tony gets a tryout. We see Tony, the sleeping guy with the Tony Romo jersey and no pants on.
All right. Okay. Cut to the Super Bowl. The three of us are controlling the quarterback. We're controlling the sleeping.
It's like the Lion King where they used the drafts. So we're just like each have got poles that are holding up different parts.
He's in the huddle. Tony, I don't think we can run it anymore. Just hit me on the post route and I'll look your way. All right. He's under center.
cut to the broadcast booth. And Tony Romo's under center. He's won the NFL MVP. He broke the record for most yards passed in a season.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Touchdowns in a season. The least amount of interceptions in the season. I don't know how he does it. How does he do it, Jim?
Oh, my God. They just broke the tackle. Tony Romo has been sacked. That was quite a hit. Oh, no. You hate to see this in sport. Leonard, please tell me. He's not getting up.
Oh, no. It looks like he might be knocked out. I don't think his eyes are open.
Tony Romo is lying lifeless on the field right there, and they are bringing out the medical team. You hate to see something like this happen to a promising quarterback.
The sleeping man is now on the stretcher, and he's waking up to be surrounded by 50,000 people screaming.
Where am I?
Sir, you've been hit very hard. You probably have a concussion, okay? We're going to have to take you out of the game. I know it's the Super Bowl. You can't go back into the game.
Come on, guys, clean him up. Jessica Simpson can't see him like this.
Where's my brother?
Wow, he is really concussed. He is really concussed, guys. He doesn't even realize he's at the Super Bowl.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Leonard, you're up. What would you like to talk about?
What's going on, guys? So if you've listened to the episode I was on last time, this is kind of similar. It's got a theme, but it's really all about right now I am in the middle of a weight loss journey.
I was gonna say you look like you trimmed up a little bit.
Yes, sir. I've lost a little bit of weight, man. Since November, I have lost over 65 pounds now. So
nice. Wow. Congrats, yeah. Man.
I'm like just a couple pounds away from 70 pounds lost. And it's been great. And you know, I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. It's what you know, but this reminded me of a time when I was a little bit heavier. And man, I used to like clean pools. In like middle school, there was this like hotel or whatever I worked at, and I would clean the pool there. And I also was like a fat kid, and I was very self-conscious about like getting in pools and bodies of water. And I would like always wear my t-shirt into like pools for a very long time. It's kind of funny because like that whole Jonah Hill thing happened this week where they like published the photos of him like not wearing a t-shirt, and he came out like, I've always been self-conscious. It took me 37 years, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that resonated with me a lot. But I eventually got over that, and I eventually got over my like kind of like issues with pools, public pools. I always liked like natural bodies of water. But it was my nephew's 8th birthday, and my sister, and since he's fucking turning 8 years old, they're gonna have a birthday at a goddamn water park. So he's born July 13th, and it would happen to be a Friday the 13th, and I was going to get a couple tattoos. There's the Friday the 13th special, and a friend of mine like worked at a tattoo shop, and she was doing the tattoos. So I was going to go get a couple tattoos after his birthday party. And before his party, I let him, I got a couple, I knew I was going to get a couple. So I let him choose one. Like there was like a few pages of like tattoos that you could get. And I let him choose one. And I would have never chosen it, but it's his tattoo on my body now. And
what is it? Is that part of the story or no?
It's kind of part of the story. It's just like a Grim Reaper thing. It's just funny because you can't see it, but I look at it every day. And people are like, "What the fuck is up with that tattoo?" And I'm like, "I let my nephew choose it. I let him choose it."
That part of the Friday the 13th deal is you had to get like a spooky tattoo.
Yeah, like it's a 13. Yeah, like a lot of the stuff had 13 in it, and his birthday is the 13th, July 13th, and I think he might have been born on a Friday the 13th. So I was like, "Well, this is dope. Like, I'll get this." It kind of was his present, but the real present was the fact that I went to his fucking shitty birthday party at this point. And
how old were you?
I guess I was 31 at the time. And I was like, all right, I went down some slides with him. I was like, all right, man, this is kind of fun. I'm having a little fun at the water park. You know, I'm just not going to think about all the piss in the water. It's okay. And I went and got on another slide and boy, I was zooming down that bitch, man. I'm flying. And I'm like, hold on, I'm going a little bit too fast. And I'm hitting a turn and I'm realizing that I'm going super fast. And I'm like, I'm about to shoot out of this fucking, it was like a half pipe slide. Uh-huh. So there's no top. And I like had the wherewithal and realized what was happening. So I like turned my body and like tried to slow my momentum down, slow my energy down. But like I still flew the fuck up. Like I hit the side of the half pipe slide, flew up in the fucking air and like made it to where like I fell back towards the slide and I just came down like 5 feet directly down on my side, on my wrist, and fucked my wrist up and fucking like slid down and it was shook. I was shook the fuck up. I was just like, holy shit. I almost fucking died at this water park. And me like being me, I like came back and I was just like, kind of shaking up, and my sister's like, "What's going on?" I was like, "Man, I almost fucking flew out of the goddamn slide, man! Like, you know how stupid I would have looked if I would have died at a water park." my sister hit me. She's like, "Stop, stop!" And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Her husband, my brother-in-law, hit one of his nephews had drowned at a water park." And I was just like, "Oh, well, now I feel even worse. Oh, and God. So, you know, just like this story I told last time I was on, I almost drowned in fucking Big Bear in the lake with a boat with no ladder. I was at a water park this time and I almost fucking died flying off of a water slide, like in falling like 30 feet to my death, but I didn't, thank God.
T-shirts the last year.
I wasn't wearing a t-shirt. I think I had more. I was just able to glide quicker. Maybe if I had a t-shirt on, I would have had a little bit more friction and I wouldn't have been able to go as fast. But I went back, got the tattoos, and it was just, I'll never forget that day.
Wow.
Does your wrist okay?
Yeah, my wrist, yeah, it was fine. It just like was kind of fucked for a couple of weeks, but.
I feel like a permanent slide is a little different, but sometimes I look at like those amusement park rides, specifically at like carnivals and that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, we put too much faith into the people working here. And also the fact that someone died at a water park and you went to a water park again.
Like, yeah, I know, right?
I feel like if I knew someone like in my outer circle who'd like died at a water park, I'd be like, I'm probably done with water parks.
Yeah.
It's like motorcycles. Like
I'm skinnier now, so maybe it wouldn't be an issue, but I'm still not going to a fucking water park.
I used to love water parks. They were like so fun, but they're disgusting. They are. Yeah. I had a friend, you know, the water parks will have those like, I don't know what else to call them. Like
wave pool.
No, like they have like gymnasiums almost like,
yeah, where you climb and the water's shooting out everywhere.
Yeah. And there's like little water guns up top. Yeah. And like, you can, I had a friend who would get to the top of it and just pee down on everybody. He would just stand at the top and let pee come out of his dick. And it would
fucking kids
trickle down
out of his dick.
Yeah, out of his dick. Can you believe it? And it would just trickle down onto everybody playing on that fucking set. It was like, at the time.
Could everyone see him doing that?
No, because he's just in swim trunks and there's water everywhere.
Oh, I see what you're
like standing at the top, like you would like people pee in a pool that way, right? They just kind of like stand there and let it happen. And it was like, we were all teenagers and it was like kind of funny, but I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, I don't play with that shit. I don't like that at all.
I don't play with piss either.
I like it a little.
You like it a little? Some people aren't as grossed out by it though. I pee in lakes, but everyone does.
Yeah, lakes, ocean is cool. But like ever since I was a kid, man, I did not like fucking any type of water park or really getting into like pools, really.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, peeing on each other was kind of a thing.
Piss like, play?
Piss play. Like, I can remember we'd go to the rec center and then shower off after the rec center, and you'd have to be vigilant because our friends would pee on you because you couldn't feel it hitting you. So if you were like in the shower, they would just come up and start peeing on your leg because you couldn't tell that you're getting pissed on. And all it took was for one kid to figure that out. And then it was like
rampant.
Hi. Are you still open? I'd like to get a tattoo.
Yeah. We're open, right?
Great.
Yeah, we're still open.
Okay, cool. Well, I have a little drawing here of what I need.
Okay.
All right. Here it is. So just so there's no confusion as to what you're looking at.
Yeah, Leonard, you want to come take a look at this? Leonard's going to be doing the art. I'm just managing.
It's a human butt, but with a smile. So the smiley of the smiley face kind of needs to go beneath both cheeks. I know it's kind of not how you'd like picture that, but smiling, but the eyes, smiley. Of course. Yeah.
You want this under your butt cheeks or because this is a rendering of a tattoo of a butt with a smiley face on it. Do you want that or do you want this on you?
This will be on me. Okay. This the butt included and it's going on my neck.
Okay. I was about to say because you don't have big enough cheeks to have tattoos up under the cheeks, but if we're putting this on your neck. Anyways, I was just thinking about the logistics. Anyways, so we're
you already eyed my cheeks right when I came in here.
I'm always looking at the cheeks. Okay, listen now. Anyways,
cheeks is the number three most tatted place. So Leonard's a bit of a cheek spurt.
Yes, okay. I'm a cheek spurt.
All right, I mean, if you think it'll turn out better on my cheeks, but he seemed to be kind of shitting on the canvas a little bit. Leonard.
Oh.
The main thing I was going to tell you is I let my 3-year-old nephew figure out my.
You don't need to.
My tattoo.
Okay, so you're
butt with a smiley face.
Your nephew drew these smiley faces on this butt.
And yeah, and he drew the butt too. I know the butt is kind of stunning.
Why? Why? He's three. Why'd you let him pick?
I thought it would be something to bond us. I thought maybe I gave him a couple options. I was like, maybe you get your Uncle Josh like an eagle swooping down and getting a fish. You could get, I don't know, like
quick question there.
Our initials. Yep.
You're saying it's a bonding moment, but he's only 3 years old. I don't think he's going to remember this.
Yes. He might, though. He seemed pretty excited, and he did pick the butt with a smiley face that says, I eat farts.
Okay. That's okay. Look,
if you think about it, it's pretty deep for a 3-year-old. It eats farts. That means the butt is both expelling and eating the farts.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. You want to get that tattoo? That's fine. You're not. We are running a spooky special today, and this doesn't qualify. So,
damn it. Can you have a bat flying out of the butt or something?
Well, you can. Do you want to take that back to your nephew? That doesn't seem to be within his vision.
Okay, well, how far can I have a distant bat? Like around the other side of the...
Well, we can charge you the spooky price. We can charge you a spooky price for the bat, but then the other one is just going to have... It's not going to be the special price.
Yeah.
What if you want... have lines connecting it?
No. If you want the spooky prize, the spooky has to be as big as the actual tattoo. Or we can make that butt with the smiley face a little spookier.
Like fangs?
Yeah. You think your nephew would go for fangs? I don't want to, you know.
You said you said it yourself. You might not remember it. I got $60. That's all I got. No, that's not much to bring to a tattoo place.
So your nephew was born on Halloween. It's the Halloween spooky special. And to get it commemorated, you're going to get a butt that he drew tattooed on your neck instead of something spooky or Halloween related.
He chose it. I wasn't even thinking spooky when I came in here.
It clearly says spooky special outside of the tattoo shop.
Yeah, but you don't have to get the lunch special when you go to a Chinese restaurant. You can get whatever you want off the menu, right?
If you want that smiley butt for $60, we're going to have to spook it up. Okay, so.
All right, I just hope he doesn't. I hope you're right and that he doesn't remember.
Wait, flat butt?
Cut to Josh's nephew's 16th birthday party, where Josh is covered in random tattoos that his nephew has drawn over the years, but somehow have always made spooky that don't correlate. And Quinn is his nephew, and he's very embarrassed that his uncle is at this birthday party.
Oh my God, Uncle Josh, why are you even here?
What do you mean? We got to get the design for the new tattoo.
I don't want to keep doing this every year. Let me go from this annual tradition that we have, okay?
What do you mean? You love all this stuff. I got a butt on my neck for you.
Yeah, I know. And you're showing me in the lobby of a movie theater at a 16-year-old's birthday party, all right? We're all trying to watch Transformers and you're killing the vibe.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you want me to get a Transformer tattooed?
No, I want you to process this like an adult and just...
Quinn, is this your uncle? Is this your uncle?
No, it's just some guy I know, right?
Oh, hold on, man. I got to see that Pokemon Frankenstein tattoo thing because you were really into Pokemon back in like sixth grade,
your
right?
Your tattoos give you away, Josh. I can't even distance myself from you.
I've heard so much about that. I saw that Pokemon Frankenstein tattoo on Reddit and I just been wanting to see it like in real life. Like,
it's right here above my cheeks. I don't have the material to tattoo under.
Uncle Josh, wow. Don't take your butt out in the lobby.
That's the top of my butt.
No.
It's just Pikachu with a Frankenstein bolts in his head.
Quinn.
It says, I eat farts.
Quinn, is that your uncle? My mom is kind of just got divorced and she wants me to see if that's your uncle and if he's available.
Tell her to run far away, okay? She doesn't. This man has no self-control.
I want a dad.
Literally any other dad, okay? Yes, if she wants to talk to him, that's my uncle.
Cut to Uncle Jack. Cut to me talking to the single woman. Hey, what are you drinking?
We're in a movie. So my son Chet said you're friends with Quinn, huh?
Friends or uncles? Yeah, I'm his uncle.
Oh, you're his uncle.
All these tattoos covering my whole body.
You look so hip and young with all those tattoos. What do you got? Let me see some of those.
Oh, there are tons of stuff. I got this is a tattoo of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Someone from the back of the movie theater down in front.
What? This is my whole back tattoo. This is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The boys love him. That's fresh. How you got that? What is that? A couple years old? Year old?
2 years old. Yeah, this first MVP season. He's got like a furry werewolf thing happening. But that is Giannis. What's going on with that? That's the Greek freak. He's the Greek. The Greek freak and.
Let's hope it's not a full moon tonight. You know.
Yeah.
Are you drinking straight liquid butter right now?
Yeah, that's actually, a lot of people don't know this, but that's free at the theaters. You can just get a cup, get some butter. You just sip the butter and it, usually between the butter sips in the bathroom, the movie's over before I know it.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? I really appreciate everyone being here for the meeting. We're all talking about, you know, just being supportive with each other in on our diets and with our weight loss journey. And I appreciate everyone being here and ready to be open and honest.
Yes.
So I just wanted to, let's talk about some of our motivations. What happened, or what thoughts or feelings, or, you know, maybe that one particular moment that was, that, you know, made you be like, it's time for me to start losing some weight. Does anybody want to go first? Okay. No one wants to
Go ahead. We want to hear yours.
Well, you know, normally water parks are fun. You know, think of good times.
Everyone's nodding their heads. Yeah, water parks. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all had our issues at water parks. And I tried to play it safe, and I went down the tube with my nephew. We went on a tandem slide, one of those full rounded tubes. And, you know, I got to the bottom and I got a little stuck. But the problem was my nephew was behind me. And my nephew was stuck behind me for a good 45 minutes. His legs trapped under my torso.
Of course, he wasn't the first one down, because just the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's smaller than you, so he's going to be leading. Yeah.
And ever since then, he just hasn't been able to go to a water park. And he's terrified of slides, of water. And I just feel really bad about it. And I just decided that day I have to lose some weight.
So you and your nephew were caught in there.
Oh, yeah, we were caught.
How'd they get you out? Did they pull the nephew out from beneath you, or did they?
I presume they sent more kids down the slide to try to wedge you.
Well, the problem was before they realized I was stuck, you know, when you get halfway, they send somebody down.
Uh-huh.
Before they realized I was stuck, six kids had already gone down. So now my nephew, legs trapped under my torso, he's got six kids pinning him back. And the water park, there was no one around. They didn't want to destroy the slide. So
they didn't? Did they say that? You could probably sue them.
We just had a lot of pizza before. It was a pizza party. So I was
gonna say, I can confirm that I was there. It's the reason I'm here today too, is they sent me down after all those kids, thinking that maybe a bigger guy would push everybody out. And I blocked the other end. And so between he and I, we had a bunch of kids in a tiny cave that was blocked off by a couple of big guys.
You know, your stories recall my own. I was born in a water slide. My mother went down after a large gentleman had blocked up the slide ahead of her, unbeknownst to her. And before they sent another large gentleman down to try and clear it, but he got stuck. And I was born somewhere in between. And
did they like send a doctor down?
Nope. It was all just the waters of the
natural
the slide that kind of carried me out. And like a goldfish grows to fill its bowl, I filled that slide. Mm-hmm. And
you grew up there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep.
See, so you're totally giving away your age, because nowadays they'd have a doc. They have doctors at every water park ready to get in the slide and deliver babies or whatever needs to be done.
Well, I had a normal childhood as it goes. They gave me all my lessons from someone outside the slide who would just shout to me or a series of Morse code through taps on the outside of the slide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slide baby.
If you will, sure.
And you gained weight after that. I imagine you had to fit in the slide your whole life. Maybe you went nuts, or what happened?
I'd never had human food. I'd been subsisting off of the water that was filtering down through the slide, and any hot dog buns or loose M&Ms that might have fallen out of pockets before. And so, yeah, when I saw my first Old Country Buffet, I kind of went crazy.
We see that Josh is a firefighter. There's a rope tied to his leg, and he's actually inside the tube.
That's great. Josh,
hey, have you been able to get any of them out yet?
I don't know if anyone wants to leave. Jerry, I think what we've stumbled upon here is society all to itself.
Next to Jerry is the water park owner. Listen, that slide cost me $11 million to install and maintain, okay? So if you want to match that, then you can take it apart. But otherwise, you're going to have to find another way.
So it's a lot. Look, what do you want me to tell you? My guy's trying to get... I sent him down there to start pulling people out. He's been down there for an hour.
I'm telling you to stop. They're happy down there, okay?
My little feet kick back up through the back of the slide.
Hey,
I'm not saving. I'm not saving in quotes anybody.
What?
They've got support groups down there. They've got a whole society.
You're not supposed to make that call.
I've seen this before. He wants to join them.
No.
I'm going to put on some swim shorts. I'm going to put on some swim shorts.
If this firefighter doesn't want to save them, I know what we need. We need at least 7 to 8 teenage boys. Pump them up with lemonade. Give them lemonade. Give them soda. We're going to piss them out. Okay. They're all going to piss down the slide at the same time.
From their dicks?
From their dicks.
Wait, I thought lemonade? I thought piss them out of the slide was Minute Maid's slogan.
Listen, Minute Maid doesn't have the rights to everything, okay?
Well, if we're going to say piss him out of the slide, we got to say...
We can't afford Minute Maid here, okay?
We're going to go ba-da-ba-da-ba lemonade.
All we can afford is the general brand, okay?
All right. We're going to have a lawsuit in the slide.
We can tell the people in the slide that it's Minute Maid urine that's reaching them. We don't have to be 100%.
Yeah, they don't have to know.
Minute Maid does lemonade.
Yeah, Minute Maid does lemonade as well. They do it all.
It's a match made in heaven.
Hey, why don't you take it easy? You're an intern. I sent you down the slide. Take it easy with your Minute Maid lemonade pitches, all right?
All right, that'll do it for this episode of The Meat Improv. Thanks, Leonard and Quinn. That was a blast.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was very, very fun.
Thank you, guys.
It's me, Leonard.
And this is Quinn. Thank you.
No, it was a great time. Thanks for having us.
What do you want to plug? Let's start with you, Leonard. What do you want to plug?
Well, first of all, at FVF Podcast on Instagram. I believe on Twitter, listen, you can find Film versus Film Podcast on any podcast platform. And me is just Leonard Smith Jr. If you look up Leonard Smith Jr., you'll find me.
Awesome. Yeah. And I will give a shout out to the UK ripoff version of the Film versus Film Podcast, which we said we weren't going to promote, but there's another one. It came out after us and they do things a little bit differently. They have English accents. Otherwise you can find
literally do everything else exactly the same.
Leonard has been subtweeting their Instagram account and it's very fun for me. You can find me on Twitter at QuinnBoys, Instagram at QBoys, Venmo at QuinnBoys. I'm just listing all the things where I'm able to get my full name, which bothers Leonard because no one else has my name. But
I thought QBoys might be like some of the guys rioting at the Capitol.
B-O-Y-E-S. The QBoys are totally, I condemn them wholeheartedly.
Also, I want to make an announcement that Quinn lost season 2 and will be punished and will be live streaming watching Twilight. So just
I have to eat an entire canister of film. That's my punishment. I just have to watch Twilight.
Well, that sounds cool. Awesome. Jake, what do you got?
You can find, I don't know. Go to twitch.tv/weimprov. You can see Leonard and Quinn play on Lotions 11 on Tuesday nights. There's also shows Monday and Wednesday nights. And that's all I got right now. Check it out.
Awesome. I'm at Josh Simpson on Instagram and Twitter. I have a YouTube account called Lazy Susan. I just put up a video about the magic show In and of Itself. So check that out.
It's really great.
There you go. And then The Meat Improv is on all the social platforms at The Meat Improv. And we have our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov, where you can get an extra bonus episode and access to our Discord channel. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, tell a friend, why don't you? Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next time on The Meat.
The Meat
Improv.